Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister. Jason, I have got what is relatively typical for people to get when they are in sub-30 degree weather with rain and snow, a bit of a sniffle. In COVID times, I might as well be a leper right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't be going out like that. No, nope. No.
No, I have been locked down at home, even though I just had a sniffle for like one day. And I'm not going anywhere. No. And you just shut everything down, right? Because better safe than sorry. So no, not going to see the in-laws, not doing nothing. Just staying at home and trying to stay away even from the family in my own home right now. Just because you can't be too careful.
No, you can't. And we talked about this on the show before. It's like I have allergies, and in the mornings here in LA, like anybody with allergies, it's just a sniffle fest.
Yep.
You know, and you kind of have to ride it out before you can put your mask on and go to the grocery store. Otherwise, you might just get shivved in the frozen food section.
Yeah. So good times. I actually think it might even just be allergies because it's very specific, and it's usually only in the morning. But again, you know, be the good guy. Be safe. Be like Bob, as the memes go.
Yeah, I think what people need to realize right now, it's at least in LA, what I'm trying to get people to understand is there are two different reasons to leave the house. One is you want to leave the house. You want to go see family. You want to go see friends. You want to go do something really fucking stupid. Then on the other hand, there's need to leave the house. You need food. You need toilet paper. You need baby formula. Do not confuse the two. If you want to go outside, fucking don't. If you need to go outside, do it carefully, do it quickly, and get the fuck back home.
There you go. So part of my just sitting around at home thing has been, obviously, it's Christmas season, and we're all trying to cheer each other up. It's been Christmas for quite some time for a lot of us, basically.
It has been, yes, for 7 months.
So I've been having the Lady in the Tube play, just saying Lady in the Tube, play us some Christmas classics, and, a bit of eggnog and a bit of a going crazy stir brain from being at home and not doing anything else. I got to thinking the other night, what really hit me, and because we have Ladies in the Tube now, and you can say Lady in the Tube, when was this song recorded? All the Christmas classics that we listen to, for listeners that are about our age, they were brand new songs for our parents.
Huh.
Now that's really true. And it's a mind fuck. Think about it. And then I did a deep dive, like I went into the Wikipedia of Christmas music and all that. It was basically just religious songs up until right around 1940. Maybe the 30s is when the first couple songs really started to be recorded, but you got your Bing Crosbys and all that. Every single song that we hear when you say, play Christmas classics, and we think that these songs have been around forever, they were brand new when our parents were kids. They were hearing those songs for the first time. They had never been recorded before. Now, tell me that's not a mind fuck.
That is crazy, crazy. When did O Tannenbaum come out, O German friend?
I don't know that one specifically. that's probably a bit more of a classic one, but certainly the recordings that we know very well about them were probably brand new for our parents. Yeah.
Yeah, especially like, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. Guessing that's not an old Norse tradition.
No, definitely not. I believe that was an advertising jingle originally, actually.
Probably.
So there you go. And I wanted to give a quick reminder to all the folks out there listening. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, I don't know if we ever really mentioned it. We certainly never push it on the show, but we will right now. Just a reminder of what you get. You usually get early access to the episodes, depending on our recording
me.
And Jason.
and they
are ad free. So, and you can stream those into your players as you wish. You'll get a link for that. So, it's a little plus and, help us out for the holidays. There you go.
Yeah. It's literally the least we could do. But yes. As soon as I put the show into publish, cause they come out at midnight usually, when we're ahead of time, which hopefully we are more often than not, especially lately, then, they come out immediately on Patreon. I put it in, I hit post, and then I move on to the rest of the stuff. So, and yes, ad free.
Yes.
Now, a little follow-up here. I thought this one was pretty funny. This is over at Jalopnik. It says, I paid $250 to drive for Lyft last year. And he breaks down his operating costs and, you know, what he basically paid in taxes and reimbursements and all that stuff. But it basically, he says, my car is now essentially worthless, but I knew that was a possibility as a full-time driver. And yeah, he technically paid about $250 to work.
Yep. How's that gig economy working out for everybody?
Yeah. But remember, the previous year, he did make $5,000. So he did, you know.
Wow. That's a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Buy
big money, big money.
That.
No
yeah.
whammies. And Brian, do you remember the Domino's lawsuit that we talked about with the ADA and the Americans with Disabilities Act and all
yes.
that goodness?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, cue predatory lawsuits now. I put some stuff in the show notes here just for you so you could see a letter that my friend got from an attorney. Mm-hmm. And basically what they do now is they send out scrapers to websites for mom and pop shops. This guy doesn't have a, you know, it's not a big company that he has. But they send these things out there and then they say, okay, well, you're not in line with the ADA. We're going to come after you and you need to pay us money types of stuff.
Right.
And it's not even like anybody with disabilities that's looking at this. They're robots. Robots are going out and doing this shit.
Yeah.
And here's the really fucked up part. So my friend's site is hosted on Weebly. It's a drag and drop builder that's
yes.
owned by Square.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
they have no access to the source code on Weebly.
Mm-hmm.
My friend called Weebly, and Weebly's like, we believe that you be fucked because we ain't going to change shit for
right.
you.
Yeah.
So now my friend is in the process of Weeble wobbling his way out of Weebly. And because if you can't fix it and he's going to get sued, and it's, you know, I think the basics are like $50,000 to $75,000 dings on
right.
this.
Yeah.
So it's just this predatory bullshit. And I looked up this attorney. He's a total douchebag down in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there's going to be lots and lots of these people. What's this guy's name? I would just say his name. Why not? Actually, you know what? It's the holidays and I don't feel like dealing with douchebags. So we're not going to say his name.
I don't feel like getting a letter from them personally.
Yeah, so, me either. Me
if this
either.
Guy's already going to pursue this kind of crap. Look, you know, smart companies and smart lawyers would make an immediate partnership with web design development companies and say, we can either sue you for this amount of money or you can hire
yep.
our friend here to fix your site for you at the low cost of $50,000.
Exactly. Or $49,999.
Exactly. Earl Scheib, the web
yep.
development company.
We'll save you a dollar. So, yeah, keep your eye out for this, people. It's out there, and it is complete and utter bullshit.
I'm relatively sure GOG.show is not ADA compliant.
Pretty sure we can fix it if we are, though, if we aren't.
Yes,
you know?
Because we have a WordPress site.
We have a WordPress site. We have access to source code. These drag and drop builders, they don't have access to that, which means I bet these guys are specifically going after drag and drop builders like this where people can't actually fix the problem.
Oh, yeah. Just troll the sites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, just keep an eye out for that, folks. Keep an eye out for that.
In the news...
Well, I'm sitting there watching CNN last night, looking at the scroll go by, having mm-hmm. a nice cup of eggnog, just relishing in the fact that the Electoral College is the greatest institution on the planet because there wasn't one bad elector out there this
no,
time.
No, but there's
amazing
there's shadow electors.
Yeah.
Whatever so, those are.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, we have a new president. It has been, well, until
not yet.
January 21st can't come soon enough. So anyway, I'm reading the scroll, having my nog, and I saw this come by, and it's like the Federal Trade Commission is going after 9 of the major social media firms and asking them for all of their data on how they track data and things like that. And I was like, say what?
I know. I saw this too. It made me very excited. I almost spilled my eggnog.
Yes.
This is something that has been on my wish list for since the internet. And yeah, they want to, they're basically saying to all the biggies, what exactly are you doing with the data?
Yeah. And what exactly, what data do you actually have?
Yes.
You know, it's
and
like, okay.
How are you using algorithms?
Yeah, let's roll this thing back about 5 years, 10 years now, and say, hey, this is what they should have done back in the day.
Yep.
But now it's like, okay, might be a day late and a dollar short. You know, the cows have left the barn and the barn's on fire and all that good, you know, all that good stuff. But and this isn't part of anything that this is like an exploratory panel right now, which means they probably won't even reply. It's like, okay.
You know what we need to do? We need to get the San Diego lawyer on the case.
Exactly. Let's get that asshole on it. So it's just, I was just amazed. I was amazed.
Yeah. I mean, this is something I want to see happen. I want to 100% try to figure this out. You know, this is really interesting. And this is stuff we should know. This is this isn't like black box, so we don't want to know how the sausage is made stuff. This is very much, yes, we want to know how the sausage is made because we're the sausage.
We're the sausage, exactly. So here, tell me, Brian, which one of these doesn't belong? Discord, Facebook, Reddit, Snapchat, TikTok, Twitch, Twitter, WhatsApp, and YouTube. Which one of those doesn't belong? What's the odd man out?
Discord.
TikTok.
Why TikTok?
Because that is the Chinese company out of all of those.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, is it though?
Well, it still is, as far as we know.
At this point, it's a bit like saying Facebook is a U.S. company. I mean, technically it is, but this shit's all global now. They've got offices everywhere.
Yeah, but you're talking about
TikTok U.S. offices.
There are, but I mean, just how long have we been talking about TikTok where they have to divest their Chinese interest? And so they're mainly a Chinese company at this point still, because nobody knows what the hell they're supposed to be doing.
That's true.
I just thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I got another fun one. Mm-hmm. The FTC is also suing Facebook for illegal monopolization.
Where the fuck has the FTC been for the past 10 years?
I don't know, man. Apparently, they hit the nog early, too, because they had some nog in Red Bull, because they're really, like, you know, on a tear here.
I know. I'm very excited about this as well.
Yeah. Even though that most of their teeth have been pulled with all of the defunding of the FTC and their litigation arm. But, hey, screw it. Let's try it anyway. So they're going after Facebook, basically about the WhatsApp and Instagram buyouts, saying that they stifled competition. They did. And continue to do so. So they're going to be investigating that, seeing if they need to roll back those mergers. But the problem is the FTC approved those mergers. So
yes,
it's going to be a little tough. No take backs. That's what Zuckerberg's just. He's got a T-shirt that just says, you know, no take backs.
Well, he's got his own other problems right now. I particularly enjoyed this article. Facebook kowtowed to conservatives and got nothing in return, which is basically what we're seeing play out right now. We've all known, you know, it's been a lie about how, you know, liberal media has been getting a free pass and conservative media is being stifled. That has been, even though conservative media continues to scream to the rooftops this is happening, we know it hasn't happened. We've talked about it on this show about actually Facebook actually promoted conservative media over liberal media. That's the reality. That's what happened because they were worried about it. So they basically gave conservative media a free pass and let them do what they wanted. And they kind of hope maybe they'd get something out of that. But
no,
it's a conservative government right now that is basically trying to screw them. And this article points out that, you know, they did just enough to tick off conservatives to basically say that everything that you did to help them didn't count for shit.
Well, you know, they lost the election, so there you go. They didn't go far enough.
Nope, not enough. So they have to kind of go all in. You got to be Parler to make them happy. And even Parler isn't making the conservatives happy these days, apparently. So
no, apparently not.
And then I saw this article and I thought this was really interesting. Now, you know, I'm not a gamer at all, but I saw this new lawsuit exemplifies an existential debate in sports video games. So this is basically three Californians are saying that the video game publisher Electronic Arts is secretly manipulating them and suing. The basics being here that there is AI technology known as dynamic difficulty adjustment in its FIFA, Madden, and NHL games, three of the biggest sports games on the planet. And they're basically suing to say, you're juicing these games to make us spend more money.
Okay.
Because you can buy things like loot boxes and all that sort of crap.
Loot boxes should be outlawed no matter what.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. When I first did my little dive into playing, I played one of the Star Wars games on my phone.
That was so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, I didn't know any of this sort of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, this is getting a little boring. I need to amp my game up a little bit. And I bought a loot box and got like nothing. I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
What?
That's why they say it's gambling, because you're giving money and you don't know what you're going to get in return. That's why EA had to go fix that Star Wars game.
Yeah,
because it was all based on loot crates, and everybody's just like, no, excuse me, that's bad.
Yeah. So they got into this a bit more, and according to Tom Brabs, who is an actual FIFA coach who runs a YouTube channel called Brabsy TV, having recorded and studied hundreds of my own games along with other people's, I've drawn too many comparisons to just pass this off as merely nonsense. It honestly would not surprise me if this tech is being used. So, yeah, there's a real thing here. And if you go back through EA's patents and various things that they've gotten, they've definitely, like, they've got this technology. So it's almost impossible to prove that they're using it, but it's there. So the lawsuit might reveal something here. And, like you're juicing it. As soon as you get good, you increase the difficulty to make us spend more money to keep playing the game.
I'm sorry,
when did games become so evil?
I'm sorry, but they've always been that way. This is why I call bullshit on this. If you go back to, say, Mortal Kombat in the 90s, you know, okay, you're playing the computer. The computer gets harder as you go. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works. And it costs you more quarters because you're not good enough as the computer, so you have to keep paying and making it go.
No, there is a definite difference here, Jason. Imagine if Mortal Kombat was actually harder because the player was better.
It did do that. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Only as you got further along into the game.
There were levels where
there was no magic AI slider in there. You know
bullshit. That. Absolutely. Well, it wasn't called AI back then, but it was dynamic difficulty for damn sure. For damn sure. You forget where I used to work? I used to work at a place where they made the fucking things.
Oh, I thought Kinko's.
Midway, sorry. No. That shit is real. It's always been there. That's why it's just like, okay, now they might be just dipping a little too hard into the box of loot to get more loot, but that stuff has always
been
there.
Well, it's also become a much bigger business now, hasn't it? I mean, people actually make a living playing these games.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway, we'll see how this one plays out. But loot boxes should definitely be banned across the board no matter what. If you want to buy an upgrade, buy an upgrade, you know?
Agreed.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. So have you ever heard of Strip Chat?
I'm a married man. Of course not. Okay. No, I actually haven't heard of them.
I haven't either. Okay. I'm single. I'm like, I haven't heard of them either. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's apparently like a cam bot type of thing.
All right.
And so I just like this because I put this one in here because it was just funny and we need a little more funny. Strip Chat's AI powered anal itics helped it reach nearly 1 billion new users in 2020. Our team has developed a machine learning algorithm to identify particular sex acts within the live streaming video. We've called our AI Analytics, and it analyzes live video as it happens, allowing us to bring live anal and live blowjob scenes happening at the very moment right to the eyes and hands of our users.
God.
In 2020, the total traffic to both categories approximately doubled.
It brings a new visceral meaning to our saying, analytics are bullshit.
Oh my God. And all they did was add a dash.
They added
a dash in a press release, but I just thought that was just too damn funny.
It's pretty funny, but let's keep on the porn continuum here because there was a big story that came out. Pornhub just purged all unverified content from its platform.
I would like to state before you get going into this that Pornhub is so big that this was on the morning news, like on like ABC, CBS, and NBC this morning on my regular TV. That's how big Pornhub has become. Look, please continue.
Yeah, I would like Pornhub added to that list of people about what data they're collecting and what they're doing with it, because I would argue Pornhub is probably bigger than Facebook. Let's be honest. Pornhub is removing all videos on its site that weren't uploaded by official content partners or members of its model program. And let's be honest, that's not a big bar to get to.
You
fucking upload a picture and you're part of its model program and you agree to give them some of your money, right? So Yeah. So this came after last week. Basically, there was a piece in the New York Times opinion section that followed the lives of child sexual abuse victims whose videos were uploaded to the platform. So MasterCard and Visa basically did an investigation and said, you cannot use our cards anymore. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot, people cannot pay for their, who pays for Pornhub? People cannot pay for their Pornhub using MasterCard and Visa anymore, which is a big deal because obviously this is how they make money from the dumb people that actually pay. So there you go. Bob's your uncle. So part of this process now to make things right and get their big business back in business is we're going to pull absolutely everything that we know could possibly potentially slightly be illegal.
Yeah.
So what this actually means is that Pornhub, unlike every other social network out there like Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or Snapchat or Twitter, will actually have verified content that has been reviewed. They are actually going for the we're not just a platform argument. Now, think about this for a second. Of all the big companies out there, it's a porn company once again leading the way and doing what all these other companies should be doing, which is moderating their content. And they issued the statement, in today's world, all social media platforms share the responsibility to combat illegal material. Solutions must be driven by real facts and real experts, Pornhub's announcement says. We hope we have demonstrated our dedication to leading by example. Take that, Zuck. Now, having said all that, I would like to point out that the only reason that they are doing it is because their business was threatened. It's mm-hmm. not like they're doing this out of the goodness of their hearts.
Oh, no, God, no. MasterCard and Visa literally have them by the balls.
Yes, they got pulled kicking and screaming into doing this, but it is funny.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. Oh, good. God bless Pornhub. Mm-hmm. So, anyway... Oh, I just, I so many, I'm just going to move on to the next one.
Okay. And thus ends our porn segment.
Yes. We can tie this one in. Oracle has been getting fucked by the state of California for far too long and has decided, for some strange reason, we're going to Texas.
Well, this is no laws.
Yeah, that's true.
No
that's
regulations, true. No laws, no taxes.
No taxes. Yeah. So, and, you know, we've been saying this for a while, that Silicon Valley is just unraveling. You know, HP's mm-hmm. gone, now Tesla's leaving, and now Oracle. And Chris, a friend of the show, Chris Lockhead, called it the Silicon Valley Texodus. But I would like to call it the Great Bait and Switch, because after this last week, we know that Texas has a hair up its butt, and they're going to get all these companies to get to Texas, and then they're going to try and leave the union. They're all like, yeah, let's secede, which we hear every fucking time.
You know what?
And they never do
Let
it.
Them. Go.
Yeah.
Try
and
it.
I think we should, exactly. We should call it Texit because, you know, Brexit has been so good so far for Great Britain, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But the fucked up part is only the unwashed masses that work for these companies are going to be the ones that have to move to Texas because the bosses have said, you know what? We're rich. We're rich, bitch. And if there was ever any doubt that Larry Ellison is a supervillain, he has moved to Lanai, which he owns 98% of.
Yep.
Believe it or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Uh-huh. Well, he's not the only one because Hawaii is apparently good for all supervillains. Let us not forget that Mark Zuckerberg owns a shit ton of Kauai.
Oh, God.
And he lives there, well, part-time, anyways. So, yeah, Hawaii, good for supervillains, and me. I like Hawaii.
A little farther to get there now, though.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. I'm going to be more Caribbean man now, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, just head down to the Grand Caymans. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's enough supervillains down there to choke a horse.
True, but, or at least a lot of their money.
Well, they're the good supervillains because you don't know who they are. Right. That's the sign of a proper supervillain. Anyway, I saw this one and I just had to chuckle. Former Salesforce chief scientist announces new search engine to take on Google.
Okay.
Richard Socher, a former chief scientist at Salesforce, he's an AI guy.
Right.
Right. He has decided, obviously, to spend a butt ton of money and bought You.com.
Okay.
And this is going to be a new search engine that is based on trust, built on kindness and facts, and will never exist.
This is, yeah, this is ridiculous. This will go away. We'll never hear about this again. I did sign up for it. I'm on the wait list.
I'm on the wait list, too. Yeah. That's the one thing about this is they're using that wait list tactic, which I hate so much. It's like, okay, you're on the wait list. Now, here's 17 other things that you can do to get bumped up the ways. Yeah. So my code will be in the show notes if you would like to go get on the wait list yourself.
Using that bullshit method to promote yourself is a good way to start on your kindness and trust and facts.
Exactly. What a, I was just like, hypocrite, motherfucker.
Hey there. Let me tell you about Factor, the meal delivery service that's making eating better a total breeze. I've been eating their ready-to-eat meals, and let me just say, they've leveled up my lunch game like nobody's business. As someone who's lived off microwave meals for most of his life, I can confidently say that Factor's chef-crafted dishes blow anything else I've had out of the water. The chicken stays juicy, the veggies are crisp, and the flavors are absolutely delicious. I'm talking about meals like the artichoke and spinach chicken and spicy poblano beef bowl. Just to name a few, they are out of this world. Here's the best part. These meals are ready in just 2 minutes. Count them, two minutes. No prepping, no cooking, no mess. Just heat and eat whenever you're hungry. And with over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, you'll never get bored. They've even got add-ons like smoothies and pancakes to keep you fueled up all day long. And if your schedule changes, no worries. You can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options without any cooking required. Plus, it's actually less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for Factor today and start eating better with zero effort. Trust me, your taste buds will thank you. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/grumpy50 and use code grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code grumpy50 at factormeals.com/grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. Now, on this show, we talk a lot about how much of our personal info is out there. We're talking about home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. And if you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're not alone. That's why I want to tell you about Delete Me. It's a game changer for protecting your personal information. As someone who's been through the ringer with spam calls and phishing attempts, finding Delete Me felt like a breath of fresh air. Could your potential views expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence in this election year? The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. Angry individuals, motivated by their political beliefs, can now easily access personal details from data brokers for 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment and identity theft. Fortunately, you can safeguard your data with Delete Me. Delete Me scours the internet, finding and removing you and your family's personal data from hundreds of data broker websites. And they don't just do it once, they monitor your information to ensure that it stays private. I signed up and provided the specifics on what I wanted to go, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me in the loop with regular updates, showing exactly where my info was popping up and confirming when it was removed. Seeing how dedicated they are to protecting my privacy is a relief. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now available at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. One more time, that's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout.
Everyone needs a world-class VPN. Grumpy Old Geeks recommends private internet access to protect your online privacy and identity. Private internet access never keeps any records of their users' online activities, so you can be assured that you have complete privacy and nobody knows what you're doing online. No matter your technical skills, private internet access is one of the easiest VPN apps out there. All it takes to connect is just one click or tap, and your data will be encrypted instantly. With just one private internet access VPN subscription, you can connect up to 10 devices at the same time. Go to gog.show/VPN and sign up today. For a limited time only, you can get our favorite VPN for just $2.69 a month when you sign up for 2 years. gog.show/VPN. That's gog.show/VPN.
Security? Ha!
We're joined this week by Dave Bittner. Dave is the host of the CyberWire podcast and also the co-host of the social engineering podcast Hacking Humans with Joe Kerrigan, as well as the co-host of Caveat with Ben Yellen, where they discuss law and policy as well as surveillance and privacy. And Dave, it's apparently Bring Your Kid to Work Day.
Well, it's Bring Your Furry to Work Day.
That's right. You're, would he be, I guess I
well, his
I,
name is Furry Junior on the window here.
Yeah,
so
I was gonna say, should I refer to him as a cub, but I suspect that probably could mean something completely different. I don't want to step in that.
Don't want to step there.
Yeah, I think that might be labeled a call to Child Protective Services.
I do
have a quick question for Jack before we get too much further here. How often on a, like say 5 to 6 times a day, does your dad break out into song and dance around the house?
Probably 5 to 6 times, maybe.
Okay, that's kind of what I pictured.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's true, I would say. I'd say that's accurate. So for those who are not familiar, this is my son, Jack. This is my youngest son, Jack. He is just turned 14. He's been a guest on the CyberWire a few times, but this is his first time on Grumpy Old Geeks. So Jack, welcome.
Yes. Thank you.
You're finally old enough to be on Grumpy Old Geeks.
Finally. Cut off his 14, I guess.
Well, certainly humor-wise, yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
You're right in the butter zone for that.
Yeah, right.
So, gentlemen, since we have an expert and an expert junior with us here, let's talk a little bit about The Mandalorian. And I found this last week after watching the episode because I was unaware of some of the back history of this latest episode, Operation Cinder. Now, this apparently comes from a video game, and since there's only one person here now that has probably played this video game, Jack, can you tell us a little bit about Operation Cinder?
Yes. So Operation Cinder was a plan inputted by the Emperor after his not death, whatever you want to call it. Basically, his, you know, final stand that he put in place for when he dies. And it was the Empire had all these satellites, and they like struck weather lasers at planets to make all sorts of hurricanes and tsunamis and that type of stuff to wipe out planets and Empire soldiers that were left. It's not completely stated like how widespread, if it was all the galaxy, if it was only a couple planets. But that's essentially what it was.
So it was kind of, if I can't have the galaxy, nobody can, so I'll destroy it all. Huh. Something to look forward to before January.
Yeah, serious.
Oh, man.
Operation Cantaloupe. That's called. Now, this came out of Battlefront 2, right?
Right. You play as a pilot. You start right after the Battle of Endor. You play as a TIE fighter pilot that is questioning her allegiance to the Empire.
See, I was not aware. I mean, I was aware of the fact that there were animated series that I have not watched that have become canon, but I was not aware that actually some of the video games are canon now as well. Who knew?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jack knew, so there you go. What's funny is I actually have Battlefront 2, and I started to play it, but I didn't quite get far enough into it to get to the nuts and bolts of it. So maybe I'll go back and play it. It sounds interesting.
It was definitely an enjoyable episode, but as much as it can be with Bill Burr, in it because I am a big Bill Burr fan as a comedian, and it still bumps me to see him in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I think it's one of the best casting decisions ever. Plus, I love when Bill's on the show.
I mean, who knew that Boston was part of the Star Wars universe?
Hey, man. It's the way it goes.
Well, they've got Brits, so why not true. Bostonians?
Right.
Yeah.
I like Bill Burr. I think he's a good choice. I was happy to see him back. As Jack and I were discussing after we watched the most recent episode, I was a little surprised that they sent him on his way, that they didn't ask him to, since he knows Imperial stuff and they're heading towards an Imperial ship, why not keep him with them? Maybe they don't trust him. Maybe they're just, you know, this way they can bring him back later. As Jack said, I think he will most likely be back. Right, Jack?
Right. I don't think there's any way that they're not going to bring all these characters back.
Yeah, I was actually reading an article about it as well, saying that they kind of almost have to bring him back because you can tell that they're building up to a Magnificent Seven type moment, and you need Seven.
Ooh.
Seven's good. Yeah, sticking with the Western theme, exactly, and all that good stuff. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Wonder which town they're going to have to save when they get all seven together.
I don't know. It feels like they've saved almost every small town in the universe already in this season.
Exactly.
It's kind of their thing.
Yeah.
Bill Burr's story with Star Wars is quite interesting. He was a Star Wars hater at first.
Yes.
He was not very fond of the series.
You know what he is fond of, though? A paycheck.
I was going to say money.
Right.
Bill Ka-ching Burr.
Right, he was hesitant right until John Favreau gave him the digits.
So what do you guys, we've got one more episode to go this season.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it. We're coming, big season finale. Any predictions for what we might see in this final episode?
I'll be sad when it's over.
Big battle.
I can predict that.
Big battle on the ship and cliffhanger. I think that's pretty safe to assume.
Jack?
I think that they were teasing, you know, Baby Yoda or Grogu calling out to, you know, other force beings when he was sitting up on the rock. So might see some of, you know,
a little Luke Skywalker action.
Right.
Space facts. Yeah, he sent out a space facts. Right. Come on, everybody. By the way, props to Jack for actually being able to remember the name without having to Google it like the rest of us.
Yes.
<I know>. Like Gugon? Oh, no, that's the stuff I put on my shoes.
Different movie.
To be 14 and remember every obscure tiny character again, as I once did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with Jack. I think we're going to see some kind of situation where at the last, you know, when everything's bad and it seems like there's no hope, at the last minute, maybe some Jedis are going to show up and
perhaps
and
a
save
new
the
hope
day.
Jedi.
right.
And I mean, they have kind of casted him, is what I've heard, or at least there's an actor that everybody in the world is saying this is a young Mark Hamill, and he is connected to Disney, so.
Right. I don't know his name. Jack, do you know his name, the guy that we're talking about here?
Yeah, Sebastian Stan.
Thank you very much.
There you go. We just need him on call for all future Star Wars episodes.
Right, exactly.
Seriously.
He's in our encyclopedia. And I thought
he's our Grow Google.
Right. Very nice.
It must be interesting, though, Jack, for you, because I think for Dave and myself and maybe Jason as well, though Jason was not as into Star Wars as a kid as Dave and I were, we certainly knew the stories and the characters, but I don't think maybe you did, Dave, but I certainly didn't know the ins and outs of like the filmic universe, the actual universe that... Like, I didn't really know actors' names so very well. I wouldn't know if an actor was attached to Empire Strikes Back when it was coming out. But these are all things that are just out there for kids these days. And Jack, you seem to know them all. So it's a different fandom than what I experienced, certainly.
Yeah, I think, you know, partially the internet is such prominent.
To blame, yes.
Right. As a new thing in this new era of Star Wars fans. Yeah. But, it's, you know, when you're got, you know, days without weekends with no deadlines to handle or, you know, all you got to worry about is, you know, Y equals X plus B or whatever, you know, you have lots of time on your hands.
All right. Lots of time to Google Star Wars.
Yeah. See, I thought it was a big deal back in the day for me that I knew like who Peter Mayhew was, you know, like,
right.
You know, that was high level stuff, but that's nothing these days.
It's, yeah. It's yeah. So I much, mean, you didn't so know potential casting announcements and,
right,
and the fact that
right.
Bill Burr was not a fan of Star Wars before being in it.
Yeah, yeah. It was so much easier for them to contain information too. But, and the whole marketing machine was different too. They use so much of that now to hype things up.
Yeah.
Who's attached and who's not, and you know, it's all very different. But
it's a far cry from sending Darth Vader to Kmart.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And mailing away your proofs of purchase to get your Boba Fett your Boba Fett action figure back.
Yep.
In the mail.
I remember when that arrived. I was at my grandparents' house and it came, and I was jumping for joy.
Yeah. Yep. Me too. Me too.
You were at my grandparents' house. That's creepy,
huh? Well,
you were at my grandparents' house. That's not right. That's not right.
I didn't want to say anything.
Do you guys remember like all the fan magazines that would come out between the movies? The really thin ones that just, you know, were just there to get your money. They might have like one or two extra pictures, so you'd have to like flip through and see if they were worth getting, so you could cut out the pictures and put them on your wall.
Same
and
with like
you
have
to beg your mom for
the annual calendar, because you might get a screenshot from the upcoming film. I remember there was I got one and it had like a picture from Return of the Jedi before the movie had come out, and it was the coolest thing ever. Now,
I think they were called stills back then. They weren't screenshots.
Yeah, giant fold-out poster of Darth Vader that you had, you know, the staples and all that stuff to get out and put up on your wall.
Finally, dogs that are barking that aren't mine.
Yeah.
That's great.
That'll be Dexter,
that's
my
Dexter.
Dog.
Good name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he a squirrel serial killer?
He fancies himself a killer of everything alive that's not him, but he's just a bully. He's really not a tough guy. He likes to think he is, but he's not. He's pretty. Jack, how would you describe Dexter?
Dexter is he's probably the prime example of all talk. You know, he finds himself running at things, and then once they bark back, he'll run. You know, right back at you in worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he is a bully.
Yeah. He's a bully. You're right. He folds any pushback and he folds, but he's got a lot of bark in him, as you just heard. So yeah, he's our dog and we love him despite him being a bully and kind of a jerk.
Family. What can you do?
Exactly. Exactly. He's family. He found us, you know, we rescued him. I don't know how many years ago now, Jack, 6 years, something like that. Yeah, he's family. He's family. All right. Well, Jack, thank you for joining us. You're welcome to stay, or you can pop off if you want to. We're going to talk about some cybersecurity stuff. So if you want to stay and add your commentary, you're welcome to, but don't feel obligated.
Okie dokie.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by, Jack, either way, if you don't chime in or not. But it was invaluable to have somebody else who knows more about Star Wars than these guys on for a change.
These kids today.
Super fans who claim to know everything and then are just shown up by the 14-year-old who comes and goes, now let me explain something to you here.
There's so much more to know now, though. Like, it's right? I mean,
so much. I can't even catch up with the animated series. Now I found out I have to play games to understand the full canon of the universe. This is a full-time job.
Right.
Back now, if I started a Star Wars podcast and I could write everything off.
Yeah. I thought I was hot stuff because I'd read Splinter of the Mind's Eye before Empire Strikes Back came out.
And, yes.
You know. Yeah. So. All right. Shall we do some security then?
Sure.
Well, let's talk about what's going on with this whole SolarWinds kerfuffle. What's happening?
So this is, again, what we in the biz refer to as a big deal, capital B, capital D. And so SolarWinds is a company that one of the products that they provide is called Orion, and it is a platform for controlling your servers, managing and controlling servers.
Mm-hmm. It's like a DevOps type of thing?
Yeah, so imagine a dashboard,
Mm-hmm.
And it's keeping an eye on all your servers, making sure they're up and running. Can do things like reboot them and all that sort of day-to-day management kind of stuff. Provides you with one place to keep track of everything that's going on, alerts you if there's something that needs your attention. Day-to-day, work-a-day kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of people use this software. Lots of government organizations. And it's originally sort of came to people's attention because this was part of the FireEye hack that we were talking about in the past, week or so.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just to clarify, SolarWinds, Orion, it's just software. It's not hardware. They don't have like a network device or anything.
I believe that is correct. I believe we're talking about software here, but I am not, gotcha. I'm not 100% sure, but I've not seen anything in the stuff that we've covered that talks about any hardware.
Okay.
So, what has happened here is much like what happened with Ukraine with that tax software, where there was code injected in an update of the software. That's basically what happened here with SolarWinds Orion. Someone, we mean Russia.
Yes, Cozy Bear, correct?
Cozy Bear, yep, which is typically the quieter, stealthier department.
Bear.
Bear, of the bears, right? There's Fancy Bear and Cozy Bear. And Cozy is the quieter one, tends to keep to themselves more. So the suspicion is that Cozy Bear inserted this software into one of the updates for SolarWinds Orion software. So if you were someone who used the software, you would go to SolarWinds, you would update to the latest version. As part of that update, there would be code that would then, it's basically malware. It would install malware, reach out to a command and control server, and give them access to your network. And then basically it opens a back door.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so through that back door, now they can, they have access to do whatever else it is that they want to do. And customers of SolarWinds includes the Pentagon, the State Department, NASA, NSA, the Postal Service, NOAA, the DOJ, the Office of the President.
So nobody of note.
425 of the Fortune 500, all the top 10 telecommunications companies, all five branches of the military.
I'm going to say somebody at Fancy or Cozy Bear got some extra rubles in their paycheck last month.
Yeah, I think so. And the folks at SolarWinds are saying that they think about 18,000 of their customers were potentially affected by this. What's funny is they're sort of spinning that as a good thing because it could have been about twice that number, I think, used the software, but only that number had updated to this version.
God, somebody in PR earned their check that week.
Yeah.
The good news sorry is, you lost your legs, but hey, you still got your head.
Right. The good news is only 18,000 of our 36,000 customers are potentially exposed to this. So these are early days for this breach. We don't really know the extent of it or how bad it is, the degree to which they were already exfiltrating data or installing other stuff or whatever. So this is a big example of third-party risk and how this sort of thing can get into systems at all levels. I think overall, people are, I think, using this as an example of this can happen to anybody. I don't know that there hasn't been a whole lot of finger pointing and people saying, you did the wrong thing or saying that SolarWinds was neglectful negligent, or anything like that. Yeah. I mean, I think when we're talking about a nation state actor like Cozy Bear, they have the capabilities to do these sorts of things. I think it's, I guess I was going to say it's brazen, but it's only brazen at the point where it's discovered, right? I mean, they were just, we don't know how long it's been in there. So I'm sure
we have we have a window that we know that it's been in there from when the update went out. So
correct. Yeah,
you know, that is true. We do at least have some kind of timeline with the window. Now, the interesting thing is that this is coming out, like, you know, now with the administration switch, that it's kind of odd timing. It's like, why didn't they wait a bit until they're, you know, you know what it is? That's what I was thinking about. Okay, so, you know, the Cantaloupe loses, and then they're like, okay, well, he's not our friend anymore. We don't really need him to protect us for anything, so let's just go to town. And then they screwed up and got caught. But
yeah. I mean, I wonder how much of this is because FireEye discovered it, put the word out, and then they started looking for it, and now cat's out of the bag, and here it is.
Right.
My impression is this was very stealthy, was running very quietly.
Yeah, everything I've read about it is like these guys were like they weren't rushing to do anything. They covered their tracks. They were very meticulous about how they actually used the exploit. It wasn't like, hey, we're in. Let's just start trying to get Bitcoin scams. You know,
right? Like, right. And that's Cozy Bear versus Fancy Bear. Cozy Bear is the reputation for being quiet, and Fancy Bear has the reputation for kind of being more of the bull in the china shop.
Fancy Bear. The easy way to think about it is Fancy Bear is more like Fozzie Bear.
Very nice. So I'll have to take that to my editorial team.
Just a quick question about why this was so big. Is SolarWinds and Orion in particular like the only game in town? Why were so many people using one product?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. It could be that they were kind of think about a company like Salesforce. You know, when you're at a certain
too big
level,
to fail.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're at a certain level, you may not have a whole lot of competition. And how many providers do there need to be of server management at this level?
Well, once you get into the government stuff, because my uncle actually did a lot of work with the government, you have to get vetted and do all this paperwork every year. You can't just sell your goods to the government. So it could be a case of this is the company that went for that market, did all that stuff, and all of a sudden
got the clearances.
Then they're the de facto providers. So
Yeah. Now, one thing, just to head off anything that people are hearing, because as with these things, the conspiracy theorists all start their engines, and there are already folks who are saying that one of the voting system companies used SolarWinds software, which is true, but they did not use the Orion software, which was the software that was cracked or infiltrated. So I don't think there's anything to this notion that
Trump
there could be any trouble with the election as a result of this. There's no evidence of anything like that. So if you hear those conspiracy theories coming along, there's nothing to them that we know of so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Good to know.
Well, I guess the other thing is, you know, the question of how does this affect me? And the answer is probably not very much that we know of so far. This is espionage. So this is spy versus spy. This is what they do. So we'll see if there's any response. We'll see if there's any. I mean, this isn't considered criminal, you know, because it's espionage. We do it to them. They do it to us.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe we'll kick some Russians out of the U.S. or do something diplomatic like that. But like I said, hack them back if we aren't already.
I'm sure we are.
Probably are. Yeah. So
the game is afoot.
It's an interesting one, a heck of a way to end a heck of a year.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Talking about a cherry on top.
Yeah. I did include a link. The journalist Kim Zetter has a nice explainer thread on Twitter that really lays out some of the basics in a way that's really easy to understand. So she's a really good writer. Always recommend her stuff. So we'll have that in the links as well.
Very cool.
Awesome.
I bet you were hoping for a slow couple of weeks heading into Christmas, Dave.
When news of this, I was sitting on my couch with a cocktail in hand, when on Sunday night, when news of this started to break and it quickly became apparent that this wasn't just some small little breach. And I was sitting there going, oh. Okay. How much, you know, what, how, so I just started reading up on it. But we'll see. I think it's going to be slow moving because it's not like it's making its way around the world and shutting down systems and ransoming things and things are going offline. And it's, you know, it's not like, Petya or something like that. It's not like that. right.
I always like Nyetnya better.
I did too. So,
all right. Well, on that happy note, we'll see you again next week, Dave.
All right. Very good. Well, have a good week. Thank you for indulging me and having young Jack on the show. He was very much looking forward
to
it.
It was a pleasure to hear from Furry Jr.
Yes, it was a pleasure. And it was nice to have somebody knowledgeable about Star Wars on the show.
Baby Furry. Yep. Yep. That's right. All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Media Candy.
Somebody linked this to me on Twitter, and I just thought it was pretty funny. I finished watching Star Trek The Next Generation and decided to double down on being a nerd and analyze the scripts over 7 seasons. And it's a series of graphs that are pretty funny. And they go, average warp factor per season, which is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. You know, when were they in a hurry? Episodes with alien races mentions versus seasons, so you can see which ones. Stardate versus episode number, which I don't get that one. Crew total lines versus season, so you can see who had the most lines per season.
So you can skip the Wesley season.
Yeah, I think everybody can skip that one. Oh, God, Will fucking Wheaton.
I love Will Wheaton, but goddamn, they did not write that character very well.
Well, let's talk about Will Wheaton for a second here, because I'm going to move this up the list, because fuck Discovery, man. I cannot like that show.
The Mirror Universe, you just jumped forward in time. You're exploring this amazing concept and timeline, and then you go back to the fucking Mirror Universe.
Mirror Universe and time travel. And this is, I remember I asked you, how is she going to get back to do that other show? Well, this is the lead in for that. Now, here's why we're going to get back to Will fucking Wheaton again for a second here is because I got my days off, you know, on when the new episodes launch, because I can't remember if it's Wednesday, because it used to be Wednesday and now it's Thursday, blah, blah, blah. I go pop it up. It says Discovery, next episode. I click it and it takes me to the Ready Room with Will Wheaton. Have you watched that?
No, I don't watch wrap up shows ever.
Okay. I don't either anymore. But it took me 5 seconds, I think, to almost drop my beer and dive for the remote. It was so annoying. It was just like, I don't know what happened to him. I mean, it's bad. You should just watch the first 15, 20
I'm
seconds
sure it follows,
and you'll see.
I'm sure it follows the very specific formula of the wrap-up shows. And I know you do not have a wife, so you have not been subjected to watching the wrap-up shows for any of the Real Housewives.
I've seen them.
So
yes.
I know what to expect from these sorts of shows.
It's not that, Brian. It's not that. It's Will's exuberance for nerddom.
Oh, well.
It has nothing to do with the wrap-up. I like watching The Talking Dead. You know, I like watching The Talking Dead more than I liked watching The Walking Dead. So it's not the wrap-up show. It's Will Wheaton himself in his faux ebullience when the show starts. I'm not sure to understand what I'm talking about.
I think it's Will Wheaton. He is who he is, man. Look at his Twitter feed. He gets excited about fucking board games.
That's true. I think he's excited about having a job and getting paid, which, I guess I would be that excited too. Okay, mystery solved. Mystery solved. And I found another awesome Reddit stream here. I guess there's subreddits or comment. I never know the terminology with Reddit because it's just like completely different from everything else. And it's Joe Rogan fans learn how shitty Spotify is. And it is a massive thread on how crappy Spotify's interface is. And I just loved it.
It's pretty bad. Did you see? This was actually breaking news. I saw it late last night and I didn't put it in the show notes because whatever. But just to continue with Spotify's podcasting. Did you see that they got the former prince and princess to do an exclusive holiday podcast?
Oh, who gives a fuck?
I know. People do. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, they also thought Michelle Obama's show was going to do gangbusters, and they couldn't get the money, or like the numbers up to pay her the money to get, you know, the buyout. So they actually had to release it to the world. Right. So I think that whole experiment might not really be working as well as they thought it would. I did watch Heaven's Gate, The Cult of Cults on HBO Max, mm-hmm. not on my Roku, because I had to watch it on my
Apple TV.
Look at
that beautiful URL for the show.
Oh, isn't it great?
They need to fix that.
Isn't it great? I mean, it's like, I think they're using the same software that Apple TV Plus is using. I really do. And I love that it's hbomax.com/series/earn, like as in where you put the dead bodies,
yep.
HBO:series:GX72QUW. It reads like an Amazon title. It's great. I do want to say a quick shout out, though, to Steve Hassan, who's in it. He's a cult expert that I know from the Jordan Harbinger show, and a really good guy. And he was in it quite a bit and did a really good job in it. But there were some things in there that I didn't really remember about Heaven's Gate, in the fact that Nichelle Nichols' brother is one of the guys that killed himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about that. Believe it or not, though, the website's still up. You can still go to heavensgate.com and all their bullshittery is still there.
And you can listen to Will Wheaton delightedly talking about it on one of his wrap-up shows.
Oh, God.
Too much?
Yeah, I know. I did do some research after this because we were like, whatever happened to that house that they killed themselves in? Mm-hmm. And turns out the neighbors all pitched in and bought it and bulldozed it and even changed the name of their street.
Good. Nice. Well done.
Yeah.
I finished, I basically binged and finished The Queen's Gambit. It is every bit as good as everyone says it is.
Really?
It was absolutely phenomenal. Jason, you will love it. You will love it. It's really fucking good. I know we don't do, we don't do year-end wrap-ups or anything, but I this is in my top three shows of the year. Hands down.
God damn it.
Hands down. Like, it's Ted Lasso, and I was going to put Picard in, but I'm not so sure. I don't know.
Nah, Picard's not in my top 10.
Picard isn't
even
in my top 10, yeah. But yeah. But this definitely is, dude. You got to watch it. It's
I'm halfway through episode
really
2. I just, by the that time
slow
at
start,
night, I just...
Slow start.
Okay, when does it pick up? Like which
by end of episode 2, episode 3, when she gets a little bit older, as soon as she gets
okay.
out, it's really good.
Yeah, I need to get rid of past this kid shit. I'm like, okay, I know, she had a shitty childhood. Let's get onto the chess. Let's move on.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I was really sad that it was over.
Okay, well, I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
Ups and doodads.
We got a Big Sur update.
We did?
We did. I did it last night.
Oh, I didn't even see it. Okay.
It seems to have sped things up considerably. Although you're about to talk about a story that might have helped too.
Mm-hmm. I got this as a hat tip to friend of the show, Eric Hunley. I found this fantastic. First, there's a YouTube video called "Is Chrome Killing Your MacBook?" Now, Betteridge would say no, it's not.
But the YouTube video says yes.
The YouTube video says yes, and there's a website called ChromeIsBad.com, and this comes from acclaimed developer Lauren Brichter. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm pretty sure unless I've gotten it confused, Lauren Brichter is the one who pioneered Pull to Refresh. Because he had that app Tweety that was then bought by Twitter, and then everybody got Pull to Refresh, and then they patented it and then let the patent go to the world. But I believe that was Lauren. But it's been a long time and I'm old. Anyway, I think he's made up for it in here. But basically what he's saying is that there's a process that goes along with Chrome that sits in the background that you can't see an activity monitor that's always updating, like checking and updating Chrome and Google products for you. And if you have to uninstall Chrome and make sure this Keystone thing is gone. And the one process that peaks up is like the Windows server. And that was one of the things that's always been running on my computers all the time. I'm like, what the fuck? But here's the problem. It doesn't happen when Chrome is running. That's why it's been so hard to figure out. And he has figured it out. I uninstalled Chrome on every computer but one of mine. Oh, my God. It's incredible.
Yep.
It's incredible.
Yep.
Yeah, Chrome has been screwing us up for so long. It's like my 16-inch $4,000 MacBook Pro when I got it out, got everything installed, and it just is a dog. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Got rid of Chrome, brand new machine.
Yeah, I wiped Chrome as well when I saw this, and it was instant. Like, on that next reboot, I was like, oh my God, everything is running so much faster. And then the Big Sur update made it even faster. I'm like, I don't need to buy a new laptop for 20 years.
Oh, good, good. Except my M1 machine gets here first week of January, so I have to. I didn't want to, but I have to.
Yeah,
got to try. No, they say Eric Hudley got one too, and he's like, "This thing is the fastest machine I've ever had," and he runs on battery all day long, and
then
like
he
50%.
Immediately installed Chrome.
Yeah. He's the first one that tried it and said, "You're not going to believe it. Do it." And because here's the other thing that I was going to talk about today was that I have switched to Safari because I thought the problem was in Vivaldi. And there were some issues that I was having with Vivaldi on Big Sur. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know what? Let's just try Safari and go back to it, give it a go. The one nice thing about Safari is the fact that all my bookmarks sync on every single device I have.
Yep.
Without doing anything.
Yep.
The downside is you got to use Safari.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
You told me you were doing it, so I actually put Safari back in my little bar here so I could actually see it and remember that I have it. I've launched it a few times. I even imported over my bookmarks from Vivaldi in the hopes that I'm going to switch to Safari. Now that I got rid of Chrome and my Vivaldi's working fine, I'm not switching. I'm not going to do Safari.
No, if this Big Sur update fixes Vivaldi, I'm going back to it. Because the UX is terrible. If you're using 1Password and the built-in Apple saved passwords, you have multiple competing dialogues popping up over your form fields, which will drive you crazy. So you have to pick one.
Yep.
So I picked, of course, 1Password because that is the winner. And so now I have to, like, if there's a password that I had in my keychain that I have to go back and find, it's a pain in the balls. But I'm going to check out this Big Sur update for sure.
Yeah, Vivaldi seems to be working fine for me, and I'm just sticking with it for now. I can't stomach Safari.
No. And unfortunately, I have to keep Chrome on at least one machine because to publish this show, I have to use Chrome. For one of the things that we do, like the dynamic ad placement marker. Ugh. Only works in Chrome.
Of course.
Drives me crazy. So fix that, Art19. Pretty please with sugar on top. And since we've got all these USB-C devices now, I noticed that all my Western Digital, hard drives that I use for backups and all this stuff, they're the old ones. They're the USB 3s with that wacky plug that only goes to USB 2. So I'm like, okay. You know what? I need to consolidate all these things and get to a USB-C drive. So I went and did a little research. Mm-hmm. By research, I mean I went to Amazon and put in 4 terabyte passport, and what's the first one that came up? And then I ordered it.
Right.
That's it. I just wanted a USB-C portable hard drive from Western Digital because those passports work forever. So I got the WD-4TB, My Passport Ultra for Mac Silver Portable External Hard Drive USB-C, and I'm going to save you the time on the rest of it, but 4 terabyte drive, USB-C, faster than shit, $116.45.
My God, 4 terabytes for $116. I can't wait until they come out with the 40 terabyte drive just so they can call it the WD-40.
Nice.
It's going to be awesome.
I know. Every time us old people, like, put up a new hard drive that's cheaper than the last one, it's just like, do you remember in my day? But I tell you what, though, the joy still doesn't stop when I see I just bought 4 terabytes for $115.
That's amazing.
I can't recommend this drive enough. What I needed it for was for a Time Machine, so I can take it around to my different machines. And whatever machine I'm working on, I just plug it in.
The backups, yeah.
So it's just doing the backups while I'm working and then just switch machines. So, it's one of the bigger ones, but it is powered by USB-C, quiet as can be. $115, 4 terabytes. No fucking brainer.
Hey, adding to cart.
Exactly. And if you wanted to buy, you can either buy, what would that be? Let's say 16 terabytes, or you can buy a new pair of Apple headphones.
No, thanks.
Yeah, the AirPods Max are out, and they're as silly as everybody thinks they are.
Why are we surprised? Because they did make a deal with Beats. And Beats were the most ridiculous overpriced bullshit headphones ever. So,
oh, and they're so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Can't wear them. But I mean, if you really want, you know, a 10 chip computer in each ear, nine total microphones, nine times, in a pair of headphones. In a pair of headphones. Yes. And the digital crown. The digital crown. Yeah, I did whatever. Whatever. I think the best part about this, though, is some of the other articles that came out. And this one surprised me. This is at the Next Web. The AirPods Max case is an abomination and an insult. And at the top, it says, proof that the only thing Apple gives a fuck about is your bank account. And I'm like, okay, let me read this article. Thinking it was, you know, for the case. Well, it's not about the case. It's about the upsells that Apple has been doing constantly. And yes, the case for the AirPods Max is a bra, and it's stupid and it's silly and it covers all the wrong things. You know, let's protect the big metal pieces that are made of titanium and aluminum and just leave the strap out there to the wind, whatever. But yeah, it's a really good article about, it's like, okay, now you don't get power bricks. Now, next time it'll be cables and all this other crap. It's just different ways that they can upsell you on other shit like dongles.
Yep.
Speaking of upselling, you're not getting the iPhone 12, are you?
I'm still using your iPhone 8, and it works just fine for me.
There you go. Okay. This came out with the new iOS update, and I saw this over at Wired. How to use Pro RAW on your iPhone 12 Pro. Love that. Love that you can actually get RAW now out of the iPhone 12 Pro and Pro Max and Pro Maxi Pad.
Yes.
I've had to use Filmic Pro to get RAW on the iPhone, since it makes a huge difference on your image quality if you're going to be using them for anything other than Instagrammy or whatnot. But if you actually need good quality images out of your phone, you want to save it in RAW and then bring it into Lightroom or whatever and fix it up. So this is cool that they finally put this in as, you know, just a base feature, which you're never going to get because you don't care.
Nope.
I could just hear you in the background.
It's like you thought you were talking to somebody who cares about photography.
Ah, I forget. Seth's not on the show this time.
Seth.
Just you. No. Last app that I tried was Otter Transcriptions at otter.ai. Because for some work that I'm doing, I had to have some good transcription stuff going.
And did you get good transcription?
It's pretty fucking good.
Cool.
I got to say, I've been using Descript, that app that... Yeah. That overcharges you and was done by the guy that did Groupon, which, you know, I hate Descript so much, and they charged me for another year without even giving me a notice that they were going to charge me. So I'm stuck with it, and they won't give you a refund because they're a bunch of fucking assholes. So that was, and you run out pretty quick on your transcription. So I'm looking around. I'm looking at Rev. Rev's too expensive. It's like a buck and change a minute. Trent is decent. I've used that in the past. And there's a couple other ones out there. And I just gave Otter a try. And with Otter, I pay $20 a month. And you get 100 hours of transcription.
All right.
And here's the kicker. It's got a great interface. It's really easy to remap the speakers. And if you just go through the beginning of the transcript and get all the speakers kind of lined up, you click a button that says rematch, and they're like, okay, come back in 10, 15 minutes, and we'll give you a new version of it. After that first pass, when I go back, it's almost flawless with how it breaks up the people talking. It's amazing.
Cool.
And for $20. So since I did all my research with the other stuff, I'm slapping all the Grumpy Old Geeks shows through there. So... we're going to have transcriptions going up with the other ones, and they are labeled at the bottom of the show notes. You have to go to the website for it. If you're on Patreon, you still have to go grab those from the show notes. It is labeled like ridiculously bad ML transcript. So we're not saying that this is, you know,
it's not canon.
No, it's not. It's actually kind of amusing if you want to have a beer and read along at home, but you know, for ML transcripts and the price, fuck, it's great.
I got to say, just in principle, I'm not entirely sure I want these things out there to be Googled into the big internet bot and have some mistranslation of something I said attributed to me forever.
That's why I labeled it as yeah, ridiculously bad ML. Yeah, like,
I'm sure Google will keep that label in mind.
Well, we do have an audio archive of it right next to it that somebody can actually listen to. So
yes,
we have
proof
is in the pudding.
People do research.
Hey, man, then we can sue them for slander. Okay. That's fine.
I don't think we can sue them for slander for something published on our own website.
Shh. We can fix it in post.
There's a lot of holes in this theory here, Jason.
Just don't tell that asshole lawyer down in San Diego. We'll be fine.
Moron of the week.
Our moron of the week this week is Jason for putting fucking transcripts that could say anything on our site. Okay, anyways. No, I'm a huge fan of the IFL Science site. If you're not a regular viewer, you should be. And I won't get too into this. The story is every bit as life-affirming and wonderful as you think it would be from the title. White supremacists taking ancestry tests aren't happy about the results.
Yeah.
It's a great read.
All righty. Did they get a transcript?
Probably. I said I was white. Not white. Shit, that's going to be transcribed. Wonderful.
Brick-a-brick.
Well, the Zodiac Killer is in a bunch of hot water. Oh, wait, they haven't caught him yet. Anyway, the cipher has been deciphered, which I thought was pretty fun after all of these years.
Not very helpful.
Not very helpful at all. No, we just found out that he doesn't know how to spell paradise.
No, no. Unless he actually has a pair of dice. Maybe start looking at dice stores.
Yeah. Joe, man, I got this pair of dice. They're dope, man. Come on over. Play some dice. Yeah. Oh, we're getting goofy. Anyway, a little bit. I just thought it was fun.
Okay. And there's some cool space news. Solar System Superhighway could speed up space travel. Future deep space missions might take as long as you think. Researchers have discovered that there is a network of routes and routes, depending on what part of the country you're from, that will let probes and other spacecrafts travel outward at a quicker pace. It's kind of cool. I thought this would be much bigger news. I thought this would be on CBS, but no.
Porn.
This is buried in science
news. There's
no
porn in space.
So yeah, they've actually found that there are basically pathways through our solar system that allow us travel faster. Interestingly enough, they all start in Texas.
Now, can you go faster than light? Is this
No. It's going to take like something that used to take 100 years could take 10, basically. So asteroids. So like they found out asteroids near Jupiter, for example, could reach Neptune's distance in less than 10 years and 100 astronomical units, about three times Neptune's distance from the sun in 100 years. Spacecraft would theoretically be faster. So it gets super sciencey. It's worth a read, though. Very cool.
Alrighty.
Feedback loop.
Over at Patreon, we've got Steve.
Steve.
Fucking Steve. Over at PayPal, we've got Ralph, Mark, Michael, Justin, Linda, Sean, Nathaniel, Andrew, Logan, Raj, and Natalie.
Thank you all so much.
Martin's did not, his stocks did not perform this week.
I guess not.
Oh, man.
That's a significant chunk of our revenue that we lost
there. I know. God, man, we might be going under. Damn market.
And over at GOG.show, Barrett wrote in, "What are the best Trump deep fake videos ever?" Link is in the show notes. It was amusing.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. And Peter writes in, "Check out the Comply memory foam tips for AirPods Pro. Just got mine last week. Definitely feel the difference, and they are more stable. I haven't taken them out for a run yet, but they stick in the ear much better than the default Apple ones." And that's at complyfoam.com. I've noticed on my Apple AirPods Pro that the little clicker stops working a lot of the time now, so might have to take those back in, but they don't fall out of my ear right now, which is a good thing.
All right. And Neil writes in, "Saw this news article pop up and immediately thought of Brian. Canada is really going to shit since his arrival. Keep up the good work, guys. Love the show. And while once a week is less grumping, it means every episode has a Bittner, which makes the week a bit brighter."
Well, yeah, a Bittner brighter.
And this is a Ontarian leaves package of poop on porch, and it apparently got stolen only 40 minutes later. And I have heard, even our neighbors when we moved in said, you know, especially around this time of year, a lot of people just wander around and grab packages, so get them right away.
Yep, definitely. Get those Ring doorbells.
No, thank you.
Justin writes in, "Love your show. Listen every week. I imagine you've seen things like this before, but thought I'd pass it along just in case. Good holiday fun. I bet they don't have this in Canada. Go freedom." And this is from Rage Industries. It's basically it's a rage room where you get to go break a bunch of stuff.
Yep. Well, we have those stupid things here in Canada, too. So I have a link in the show notes for Battle Sports, which has their own rage room. And interestingly enough, a website for a company that didn't bother to brand their website name at all. The URL is webdesign.sherrodank.on.ca. and I haven't seen this in a long time. Slash,
oh man,
what do we call those little?
It's a tilde.
Tilde Brown Mad slash service underscore website underscore Maddie slash home.html. So
nice.
Some good branding there.
Woo, doggy.
But yes, we have them. Henry writes in regards to the Mandalorian show ever using the word Slave One to describe Boba Fett's ship. If you listen to Mandalorian Episode 14 using the English sound description audio setting, the narrator calls the ship Slave One. It is worth a re-listening to episodes in that audio mode. They sound like great audio books. I bet they're using one of those shitty AI translations and they never actually said Slave One and somebody's going to get sued. No.
Ralph writes in, hi, Grumps. Hope all is well. Here's my nominee for this week's latest Sign of the Times Award, courtesy of the New York Times. And it's an article titled, Bad Sex in Fiction Award is canceled as 2020 was bad enough. Oh, yes. A sad day indeed. Anyway, stay healthy, stay grumpy, and be careful out there.
Will do. I guess we're sliding into the holidays because not a lot of feedback and no iTunes reviews. Which is a bit of a bummer. Actually, we need to talk about that. We need our break is coming up. We'll talk about that off the air. If you want your question or comment,
I'm like, break?
Right on
Where's the
show,
break?
I don't know. Can't we take at least a week off here? If you want your question or comment read on the show, head over to gog.show/contact and send us your feedback or questions that we can read on the air. And if you're so inclined, please head over to gog.show/review and toss us a 5-star and snarky review. You didn't come up with something funny, so I'll just read it as is. And if you think about it and you're using Overcast, click the little star next to the episode. Jason's notes, something funny.
I'm busy this morning, man. My second show of the day. And
I'm sure the AI transcript will fix it.
Closing shout outs.
Sad news in this week's closing shout outs. Tommy Tiny Lister is dead at 62. You may remember him as the president in The Fifth Element, among many, many, many other movies.
I saw the headlines and I thought he was a rapper.
Nope. Okay. And Eric Engstrom, one of the pioneers behind DirectX, has died at 55, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Way too young. And speaking to somebody that wasn't too young, though, John le Carré, he died at 89. He was one of my favorite authors. He wrote Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, and many, many other ones. But the George Smiley series was fantastic. Highly recommend those.
Never read it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I should, I guess.
I don't see you as a spy guy.
I'm not really into those kind of books. That's the thing.
Yeah, but you saw the movie Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that was good.
Okay. Yeah, the books are kind of like that. They're slow like that, too. Mm-hmm. So if you like that kind of slow burn, but you think a lot, and I love the George Smiley books. They're really good.
Cool.
Anyway, until next time, I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. The show is a labor of love, but your support keeps the show going. If you like the show, please visit gog.show/donate to help us out. We'll love you forever. Or visit gog.show/shop and pick up some good old-fashioned GOG swag. If you can't do that, please pass the show along to a friend. Word of mouth is the only way the show grows, so spread the grump far and wide. Show notes for this episode are at gog.show/488, along with the abysmal AI translations. From there, you can find links to old episodes, leave feedback, ask questions, donate to the show, buy our swag, and get links to stuff we like. Stay grumpy, or whatever that got translated as.
Stay rumpy.
Great. Attributed to Brian Schulmeister. First result on Google search.